Open up your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5 today. Paul is talking to us about being light. You are light, Paul says. And beginning with verse 11, let's read our text here. We'll read verses 11 through 13. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Because it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, because whatever makes manifest is the light. I think we all like secrets, don't we? Especially if somebody's good at keeping the secret from you, and you want to find out what the secret is, and you start talking to people, and you ask them, well, what is the secret? Apostle Paul tells us there are some secret things that are secret because they are evil, because they are dark, because they are sinful. And Paul uses a very important word here that we as Christians need to know, not just the meaning from the Greek or from the English or from the Russian, but we need to know it in practice. Paul, beginning with chapter 4, when he talks about the practical Christian life, says, walk. He's describing to us how Christians have to live. He goes through many different examples in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he says our walk is supposed to be an imitation of God, who is light, who is right, who is sinless, who is holy. We're supposed to walk in love, chapter 5, verse 2. Verse 8 and on, it says your light, you're supposed to walk as light. The word that Paul wants us to know here is this word fellowship. Another way to put it is have no fellowship or have no partnership. Do not participate in the things that are unproductive or unfruitful. The word fellowship, I think we all as Christians like this word. Acts chapter 2 talks about the church had fellowship with each other, had fellowship with the Lord. We talk about having fellowship, and it is something that has a spiritual and a good context. But the word means to be participants, to involve yourself, to become a part of. When we became a Christian, we became part of Jesus Christ's body. We became part of the body or the church of Jesus Christ. When we became part of God's nature, we acquired God's nature. We became united with it. But Paul also uses the word in a negative context. In Corinthians, when he's talking about a harlot, he says, when you unite your body with her body, you become one flesh in a physical sense. That is something that is supposed to occur only in marriage. And Paul, using the context in a negative way, he says, when you sin because you are part of Christ, you are uniting Christ in the very act that you're doing, and that is something very horrible. And Paul here says that there are certain things that we're not even supposed to speak about because they are so terrible, they are so dark, they are so sinful. Remember, Paul is making a contrast between light and darkness, between saved people and unsaved people. He says, you are light. Light's characteristic is that wherever it shines, there is no darkness. Darkness, by nature, has to disappear. The things of light Paul describes here, he says they are fruitful or they are productive. Jesus in chapter 15 of John says, I am the true vine. In other words, I am the vine that is alive. I am the vine that has roots. And in the roots and through the vine come the juices that are difficult to explain, but that's how plants grow. Through their roots, they get the water when we water them. They get the fertilizer that we fertilize. They get the nutrients and the minerals from the soil. And they transform them into energy that makes the plant grow. And when the plant grows, then you have branches and leaves and little flowers and eventually fruit. The whole point of being in Christ is to bear fruit in our life. In a negative sense, being darkness, being a child of Satan, you produce in your life too. You have fruit. But the fruit is a negative thing. It's a bad thing. There's a list of it in Galatians chapter 5, parallel with the things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. And so Paul says that the darkness, the evil that's in the past, the light, the good. Verse 9 says, the righteous and the truth, that's all present in our life. And says, don't participate, don't become a part of the things that you were once part of. That's in the past. You left it. You died to it. Now be alive to the new things of Jesus Christ. This is very parallel to the things we're studying in Romans right now, those of you that come to the Bible hour at 10 o'clock. But Paul says, don't have fellowship, don't unite. Interestingly, in a passage that alludes to partnerships, that includes marriage, Paul in Corinthians says, do not become unequally united with people that are not saved. Not just in marriage, but in different aspects of your life. Don't break bread with them. You know, to sit down and have a meal with somebody in the Middle East is the most intimate, close thing that you can have. That's like a friend. A friend is not supposed to betray you at the dinner table like Judas did. Even though Jesus took the bread and he dipped it in the juices that were there from the lamb. And I think we're all starting to get a little hungry here. Okay? But Jesus gave it to Judas. And then Judas turns around and betrays him. But at a meal, when you're sharing fellowship with somebody, do you see the intimacy there of a positive part of fellowship and of a partnership with the things that are good and light and positive, and having fellowship with something that leads to evil? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and does not stand in the way of sinners and does not sit in the seat of the scornful. There is a progressive spiral of sin that leads you downward, straight into hell. And there's an upward spiral that is ever growing, ever enlarging, that leads you to holiness and righteousness and truth that leads you to eternal life. And Jesus says, don't be part of the spiral that takes you down into the pit. Be part of the spiral that will take you up into the presence of God. This fellowship with darkness leads to unproductiveness and unfruitfulness. Jesus, one time, he was going to Jerusalem and he was hungry. And there was a fig tree very close to the road. And fig trees in the Middle East usually had two seasons. They would have figs twice a year. And so this tree was green. It had a lot of green leaves. And Jesus goes over there thinking he'd get some figs to eat. When he gets there, there's no fruit on the tree. And scripture tells us that Jesus curses the tree. And it immediately dries up. And the next day when the apostles or the disciples are walking by, they see that the tree is dried up. It's fruitless. There's no fruit on it. When we studied the epistle of Jude, remember there in Jude, Paul talks about Jude talks about clouds that have no water. Trees that are uprooted. Waves that foam. Have you seen the foam, the white foam on the ocean when you go to the beach? Okay. It's all an illusion in your eyes that leads to destruction. There's no fruit there. Instead, Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. You will be productive. And the will of the Father, Jesus said, is that you not only have a little bit of fruit, little fruits, but that you have a lot of fruit. In the example of the good soil, some of the soil had 100% profitability. That's what Jesus wants from us. And Paul writes here, he says, don't become participants in the things of evil, the things of the world. John, in 1 John, he writes it a different way. He says, don't love the world and the thing in the world, because the world, it's temporary. Temporary things pass away. But instead, love God, love His Word, love His people, love the church, love the unsaved people, and bring them to the Lord. Why? Because those are the permanent, fruitful things that the Spirit of God produces in our life. And so the things that are evil and dark, Don't participate in them. But instead, Paul says, you know, Paul never tells us to do one thing and then not give us an example of what to do. Paul says, instead of being participants, expose it. What happens when you think about the word expose? Going back to our opening statement about a secret. You know, there's some people that can't keep a secret. And they expose it. They open it. What does it mean to expose or to open it? It means to make known. Paul, the way he writes it here is make it manifest. Make it visible to other people. Have you ever gone into a dark room without the lights on and stumbled on something? Then you turn the lights on and say, oh, I forgot it was right there, right? In the Middle East, most of the houses back in the times of Jesus and Paul, they were four walls, and because most of the people were poor, they didn't even have windows. Remember the example? Jesus says, take your light, you are light, and let it shine. And lights in the Middle East had to be put up on a little shelf high up on the wall close to the ceiling. Because if you put it on the floor with no windows there, the light on the floor would not shine very high. It would only shine on the floor. But when you put the light on a shelf that was high on the shelf, put it on the wall on a shelf that is up towards the ceiling, then the light would radiate throughout the whole room and you can see where you're going. Now, a lot of people in the Middle East were merchants. They would sell things, even today. You go to the Middle East and somebody wants to sell you something, he says, come inside my house. You go to some of these little bazaars that they have where they have these little booths where they sell you things. And what does the merchant always tell you? Come inside. Why? Because a lot of the people there were liars. Remember Paul here writes, he says, do not lie like you used to before, but speak the truth. Well, they would take you in where it was dark and try to sell you something because it was dark and you couldn't see the defect in it. God does not want our lives to be defect. He wants our life to be the light. And so a person that wanted to buy something would take something from the hands of the merchant and he would go outside where there was a lot of light. Especially if you're buying a precious stone or a piece of pottery, and you would hold it up to the light to see if there's any cracks in it. Last thing a lady wanted to do is buy a pot and go down and get some water and have it all drip out by the time she got home from the well. And so Paul writes here, he says, light. A characteristic of the light is if there's the smallest fracture, the smallest crack in your life, the light will show you. It'll expose it. And so you see, Paul says, don't be part of the evil and the darkness, but instead be part of the light. Expose it. There are things that we're not supposed to speak about, or God does not want us to speak about, because just speaking about them causes our mind to think about it. You ever hear people start saying something and then they say, oh, excuse me. Why? Because they're ashamed of it. That's what Paul says. Don't be part of that kind of mentality. There may be things at job or at school or where you live that are evil. And Paul says, it's a shame to talk about them. You know, a doctor sometimes treats a bad disease or a virus, and he has to be very, very careful to not become sick himself, especially if it's a contagious disease. That's why you see doctors wear gloves. They wear masks so they don't breathe the viruses that can make them sick and kill them. And Paul uses this analogy. He says, don't be part of it, but instead expose it. Bring it to the light. Then you won't stumble and fall over it yourself. And we'll pick up next time and continue the rest of this passage as God wills in our life. Amen.